Hey friends, Mike here. Just wanted to mention that we recorded probably 4 episodes of season 2 prior to the coronavirus lockdown. And so if the episode seems slightly out of touch or it seems like we don't mention it at all, that's why. But we're looking forward to continuing to record during this season especially and really just bringing you guys some moments to feel like you're in a conversation with a bunch of friends, which is really the point of why we had this podcast to begin with. So with that, let's go on to today's episode.
Welcome back to episode 2 of Goalless Discussion, season 2.
Season 2.
We are back. Ashley is still not with us, mostly because the first episode and the second are recorded at the same time.
She'll be back soon.
Sorry to bring you behind the curtain of the Wizard of Oz.
Don't show them how the sausage is made. They don't.
I hate that phrase. Can I don't know why.
Why?
Because sausages
remind you of penises.
What?
Actually, I was thinking that. That's why I wouldn't like it.
Oh, God. Ashley is not here.
Don't
obviously
show them how the penises are made.
Let me tell. Can you? Can why? Why did you do that? What is
you brought
what
it
is
up?
Your problem?
You brought it.
Oh, Ashley, come back soon, please.
I will say that, dude. What is? Okay,
dude, I don't even know what to do now.
I will say.
I think this episode is over. I think we just have to stop.
What if you post the podcast and it's 1 minute? It's just like Tyler makes the penis joke, and then we just
everyone goes home.
Gosh, it's so bad.
Oh boy.
Are we cutting that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think we should.
It's pretty funny, but also we said the word
Tyler,
penis multiple times.
Can you stop saying penis?
You started it.
No, you just say it once and then it's over. That's how this works.
Yeah, have you ever played the penis game in middle
can
school?
Can you? So,
okay.
Oh my God.
All right.
I will say that I've noticed that like guys from the South have this code.
I'm not from the
in
South.
Which you, I know, I'm just like, it's not related to you. World doesn't revolve around you. Guys from the South, I've noticed, have this culture where like you can't joke about certain things in front of girls. And so I started noticing this with a lot of folks on our staff over the years, was that like you'd make a joke and then if no girls were present, they'd be like and then if you're like there's a girl person, they're like, whoa, dude, and I'm like, what is happening? And then there's like this unspoken code. What's up?
Are we recording?
We are recording.
Sorry. It's not moving.
It's moving. It's zoomed out so you can't. Listeners, so Tyler doesn't know anything about recording, so I've zoomed out the perspective so the timeline doesn't move as fast. Kind of like an airplane flying overhead. Dad, the house is, we're not going very fast.
I was that child. I was like, why don't we just drive? It's so much faster.
I don't even know what we're doing now.
I don't know.
All right, so great. Well, we're back. we're gonna leave that alone.
It's good.
What? Why?
No, I said that's good.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay.
What are we talking about today, Mike?
Okay, today
we're going to
talk about recent internet sensations. And so we've been keeping a list of things that have been happening on the Christian internet. By the way, shout out to Worship Fails Instagram account. If you don't know about this, in our world of polish and shine and production and people appearing to be awesome on social media, Worship Fails has come blistering onto the scene with moments of usually music in worship, failures in musical moments during worship. And so it's always like someone in the band like screwing something up real bad, playing
real,
bad notes.
Real bad.
Really bad. Falling on stage comically, you know, also, you know, the keyboard stand falling apart spontaneously during the middle of an emotional time. That used to happen via email and via message boards. Like one time I heard about a person who said that they broke one of their guitar strings during worship and they tried not to ruin it. So they just were like, sorry, everyone, I popped my G string. And then they just ruined.
Oh, no.
They completely did not think about it. But now the current modern day is Worship Fails. So go check that out. But we're going to talk about things on the internet that have been happening and our response to them, but our not so official. We have not pre-talked about any of this. We have no idea what anyone thinks. because this podcast is Endeavor with Fancy Chairs. I forgot what it's called.
No.
Oh my gosh. What did we say?
It's that. Endeavor of Fancy Chairs.
Endeavor of Fancy Chairs.
Endeavors.
If you don't know what that is, listen to the last episode. So, all right. First one, Kanye West. Kanye West, if you do not know, if you're an older listener or if you're hiding under a rock, he's a very famous hip-hop artist. Probably the most famous?
Mm-hmm. He's up there.
Drake? Drake is more famous?
Yeah, probably.
Drake is more famous. The most famous American hip-hop artist. Drake is Canadian, if you don't know. Did you not know that?
No, I knew that.
Tyler? Oh, okay.
I'm just thinking of who else might be more popular.
Kanye?
Anyways, moving on.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, so Kanye, he's his initial albums actually had more Christian / religious themes, but quickly veered away as his fame skyrocketed and got married to a Kardashian and has just been sort of this really weird, vain person, you know, at least in public. Who knows what he's like in private. But recently, suddenly declared that he had really become a Christian. Begin to do these things called Kanye Sunday services, in which he kind of did a musical production that was kind of like a church service, but kind of not really, but near the end became more and more explicitly kind of a worship service. And then actually was being mentored by a pastor who then began to preach at some of his events. And this pastor, by all accounts, by many people, has seems to be a very solid person as far as being a Christian pastor and not sort of someone that we might consider more shaky. I don't know his name. Tyler's looking it up now. Or he's not looking it up now.
I at least know he's, I think he's in Acts 29 church.
All right. So someone in our networks who would be, you know, we'd say is trustworthy and seems to be standing behind Kanye's conversion and becoming a Christian in a serious way. He said he's not going to make any more non-Christian albums or albums that don't acknowledge Jesus. So he came out with this album, Jesus is King, which got, you know, so much attention, so much review. But the reason we're talking about it is because there was a ton of response on the internet. Some people were like, well, let's see, because of his reputation and how he's handled something in the past. Others attacked those people and said, well, you know, they didn't attack so-and-so. I don't know. I'm trying to remember the examples on social media, but
so I remember a little bit more clearly. So I think there's a couple of different things with this. One is just the musical aspect. I think like you have the side of like the Christians are like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing, and then, like all the non-Christians who like don't have any idea what like any of this is. It's just like, oh, this is really weird. I don't know why he would ever do this. And then the side you were talking about, Mike, I think people were one attacking the authenticity of his conversion.
Correct.
And then other people were like, well, who are we to judge? And like, why are we attacking this? I think, Tyler, you actually, when the album first came out, we had a discussion about it, and that mm-hmm. was one of the main points that you brought up to me, which was, why are we focusing on the conversion, the authenticity of a conversion, which we can't judge as people anyway.
Mm-hmm. Especially versus, from such a far distance.
Exactly, from such a far distance, versus the fact that for one of the first times, someone of this caliber of like of fame, mm-hmm. is basically giving the gospel to like millions of people.
Yeah.
Which is something that should be celebrated.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think the conversion speculation about that, like, it's not bad to like think about that and hope that he is genuinely saved too. But I think there is this picture that people were missing, like you said, that like millions of people that would never hear the gospel otherwise are hearing it through this music.
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of the other, so like part of it is you just have to go deep into like evangelical Christian Twitter. Which is like, there was just this one season where I subscribed to a bunch of people on that, and so you hear all these hot takes around it or them responding to what other people are saying on Twitter. And so, and it's a lot of like, well, anyway, it's not that important. But I think there is some validity at wanting to discern, you know, they're like, oh, let's not just jump on the bandwagon of everyone who says they're a Christian now. There's plenty of people in public or in private who have like, who do that quickly and fizzle out. And there's some scriptural, you know, basis for discernment. And in fact, in the early church, someone could say they're a Christian and you would be like, yeah, well, let's see. That was actually the approach. Mm-hmm. And then there was this whole process of, you know, becoming a catechumen, if you look in church history, where you would have to like, you weren't even allowed to be baptized until they were sure. And there was all of this process around making sure it was real and it was legit. Some of that was for the safety, right? Because if they let you in, and then and when Christians were persecuted, they didn't want someone there that could endanger them, and you know, but also for theological and for family reasons, there was this real group identity. Whereas I think a lot of, if you're listening to this podcast, you're in the West, and so it's, oh, and it's about me individually, am I a Christian? But it was not, no, it's more like, are you ready to be one of us, was the thing. And so there was a lot more process around that, a lot of suspicion, and that wasn't a bad thing. That was actually a good part. Now, I think that's different from what's happening on the internet. I think what people are getting annoyed about, or the people who are getting annoyed at the people who are being super judgy about it, is the lack of consistency. And I find that on online, this is like a big, like, this is a big thing about having respect on the internet, as a person, as an individual, or as a public figure, it doesn't matter, is that if you display inconsistency, people get annoyed about that and they point it out, right? So if you're like, I'm going to celebrate this person, because people are like, oh, if someone in your congregation came up to you today and said, I just received Christ, I'm so excited, you'd be excited for them. But then if Kanye says it, you're not excited. So that's inconsistent. So then people were getting mad about that. And that's really what people were being mad about. Now, let's say you were the type of person that every person that came to you who said, I'm a Christian now, you were like, okay, let's see about that. Like, let's feel this out. I'm a little more like, I'm at least a little more on board with the consistency. I can attack your position once you establish that you're consistent. But until there's some consistency, I'm not even going to even start talking with you about it. I'm like, and that's actually what ruins a lot of dialogue on the internet, I think, is that people don't see their inconsistency and have deep kind of profound introspection on, like, I want to be a consistent individual in all the areas of my life. And therefore, they can't even engage in dialogue, because the moment you say something, people are like, well, you didn't say this on this other thing. And then, like, you can't even have the discussion, because you have to now establish your integrity as a person before you can establish your position. And so that's the real problem these days, is that people don't do that. And so I actually think that's a lot of that sub talk about it is about that. And so I do think that it's good to celebrate this. And I think the Bible has precedent for, like, you know, they don't, Jesus doesn't stop the disciples, tell the disciples to stop this other guy who's preaching the gospel, even though they don't know who he is. And he says, whoever's not for you, whoever's not against you is for you. And so there's some good precedent for that. At the same time, we have precedent for, like, okay, but if they want to join you, if they're supposed to join the family, you should have some discernment about that. And I think that's all important. But I think for me, what I drew out of that whole controversy was, like, be consistent. Like, that's the most annoying thing for me on the internet, is people who are not consistent and who get, they're selectively angry about things or selectively picky about what they decide to celebrate or not celebrate. Now, we're all guilty of it to some extent. So, you know, you got to give each other grace on that. But yeah, I don't know. That's how I stand on that. So I don't know. Any other?
Can I read you one of his lines that was, yes, kind of ironic?
Who?
Kanye's lines from one of his songs.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because sure. It kind of speaks to exactly what happened.
Oh,
right. He said, do it. So I'm going to butcher the reading of it. But
no, I want you to read it.
Said I'm finna do a gospel album. What have you been hearing from the Christians? They'll be the first one to judge me. Make it feel like nobody loved me. They'll be the first one to judge me.
Boo!
Which is like what happened, right? Yes. Like all the Christians, not all. Some Christians were so quick to just attack him, right? Mm. Whereas I feel like non-Christians, although they might have been indifferent or be like, this is weird, no one was attacking him, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting because I feel like the general consensus with Kanye right now is like, oh, he's a crazy person, right? Like, he had that stretch where, like, he actually had a legitimate, like, psychiatric problem. And, like, now people are like, oh, he's like a weird person, blah, blah, blah. And, like, but I think it's really interesting when you read the lyrics that, like, Tyler just read, and, like, actually I've listened to some of his interviews, he's actually very coherent. He's actually very aware of, like, his situation. And he understands, like, there is, like, reasons to doubt his conversion. He actually talks about that. He also talks about his past, where he did have a lot of, like, songs in his old albums that were, like, Christian quote-unquote songs, and then the next song was, like, talking about, like, sex, drugs, and, like, all these other things that would, you know, cause a Christian to, like, very much doubt it. But he's very aware of these things, which I think is very interesting. But yeah, I don't know. I actually wanted to ask, did you guys listen to the album? Like, Tyler did.
I actually have not spent the time to listen to the album.
Okay, yeah. But did you listen to, like, Kanye in general, like, in the past?
Yeah, I did it in, like, the first three albums. Okay. Yeah.
All right, because I think it's, The first time I listened to it, I actually didn't like it.
Oh, the album.
Yeah. I think I told Tyler this, but like when I was listening, it just made me want to listen to old Kanye. Because his old stuff was just so much better.
I mean, yeah. I think so too. But yeah. Content-wise.
Well, content-wise, obviously.
Right, that's why it means something. Yeah, but. Yeah.
But I don't know. And then I listened again the other day, and it's growing on me. It's definitely growing on me. But,
yeah, some people were like, this is not necessarily the best Christian or hip-hop album, period.
Right.
But it's just a good album. And as far as the music goes, So.
Well, at the same time, though, I kind of feel like if it wasn't Kanye behind it and what that meant to like the world, I don't think I'd listen to it.
Yeah,
really,
that's fair.
To be honest,
I think a lot of people would agree with that.
Yeah,
yeah, and I think it's just important. Like, I think you have to balance these two things, right? Which you want to have. You certainly want to celebrate and be happy for what you see happening, but also with a degree of wanting to make sure things are real and they're going to last, right? And so,
yeah, I mean, I think there is a degree of like accepting it what it is for what it is. Like he's an artist who happens to be Christian now, or so he says, and he made an album. So I think we should just take it for what it is, which is an album that we enjoy. I think the problem with this, and the problem that a lot of people have, is that because of his like stature in society, people will look at him like as like now he's a Christian, so now he's like a Christian leader. And I don't think that's the case. And I think I was listening to another podcast about this, and like they were talking about how we shouldn't be like putting him up to that standard, because he's not. He's like, you know, for all intents and purposes, if this is like a true thing, which I believe it is, he's like a fairly new Christian, and he's not portraying himself to be like a pastor or a teacher.
Yeah, right.
He's just an artist singing about something, or like producing music about something that he is now passionate about.
Yeah, he's not a leader. He's just famous.
And
that's
what we should take it as. And I think that's why there's so much attacks, because people are viewing it as him trying to lead people. And
he's not.
And he's not. And like that's why they're digging into his past and the inconsistencies in his past, which is like not really a thing if you look at it from that perspective.
And that's a really good point. Like, strip away the fame. Let's just say it was a normal person in our church that just became a believer. Would we scrutinize them to this level? Like, absolutely not. Right? We would encourage them, right? We would walk alongside them.
Sure.
And be like, hey, this is what it means to like walk with Jesus, right?
Yeah. But famous people are not leaders, though they are treated like and sort of have some amount of leadership by de facto kind of responsibility, but they're not leaders.
So I think we should use a different phrase, though. Yeah, they're not leaders, but they're in the spotlight.
They're influential.
There is something to be considered there that is slightly different than the normal churchgoer.
Correct.
That's a new believer, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, he influences people, but he's not competing.
Sure. Yeah. On that subject, another fun happening. Okay, not fun. Another noted happening on the internet was that Marty Sampson, who is a worship leader for Hillsong, wrote this long Instagram post about how he was losing his faith, quote unquote, and that it wasn't bothering him. And so he wrote this really long Instagram post about it. If you don't know who Marty Sampson is, he has written music for Hillsong for the better part of two decades. Most recently, he wrote "Oh Praise the Name," so you'd probably know if you know that. That's come out in the last several years. But there's many songs from the last 20 that he's been a songwriter for, and he was one of their main lead vocalists throughout the years, though not so much in recent years. And so he came out with this post, it's interesting that Instagram now has become this, you know, this is how you don't have a press conference. You just get on Instagram or Twitter and you let people know what's going on. And so there was a variety of responses to this. And I think that really brings up this subject of how do you deal with people who express that they are not doing well in their faith, or if I'm to be more neutral, that just that their faith seems to not be in a good place, or that it's going away. And so there's been a variety of responses around this, but I don't know. I'll let you guys comment on what you thought when it happened, and then we just like talk about what the best perspective is. So,
yeah, this was incredibly personal to me.
Yeah,
just because of his part in my Christian walk, like back in the day, in like the early parts of my walk with Christ, and also my walk as a musician who also is a Christian, like. he was super influential to me. Like, he has written so many songs that, like, I have led or I've played and, like, used to, like, in my growth.
Yeah.
I also think it's really tough because, like, I feel like we've all been Christians for a good amount of time now, some longer than others, but, like, I feel like any Christian who is in this for long enough will eventually see friends and family and just people go through this exact thing where they kind of just, like, fall away or just kind of just, like, go, they just, like, don't care anymore. And I think that's, like, the biggest thing from his post that a lot of people are commenting on. At least for me, this is what impacted me the most, was that he says that not only is he losing his faith, but he just doesn't care anymore. And I think, like, that's the part that is tough for me. But I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this. I just know that it's like, yeah, it's hard to see because I feel like this is happening more and more often these days.
Here's a list since 99, what he's kind of written or co-written. By Your Side album, 1999. He was on By Your Side. For This Cause, 2000, Carry Me. You Are My World, probably his first real breakout, 2001. He was also on Hillsong United, so this is just, you know. God Is Great, You Are My World, Forever, My Best Friend. On the Blessed album, 2002, which if you don't know, that's like really amazing. Now That You're Near, Son of God, King of Majesty. Hope, Song of Freedom, Better Than Life, To the Ends of the Earth. Blah, I mean, literally every year. 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2009 then, and then 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. On all these releases, he's got a song or he's co-writing a song. And then he comes out with this Instagram post really during 19, just shortly after. And so,
can I read you an excerpt from the post and just see what you guys feel? So this is I didn't know much about this until we said we were going to talk about it, right?
Okay.
But this is part of his post, the part that stuck out to me the most. He said, how many miracles happen? Not many. No one talks about it. Why is the Bible full of contradictions? No one talks about it. How can God be love yet send 4 billion people to a place all because they don't believe? No one talks about it.
Yeah. So what's interesting about that is, so, like, here's what happened on the internet is he releases this. Some people flip out. They're just sad. Some people are really disappointed and sort of are angry about it or upset with him. Some people, based on the content of what you just read, they think that this reflects poorly on Hillsong. And then so what happened was, there's this guy, Dr. Brown. I don't know his first name. I don't know. Dr. Brown is in certain circles, is a well-known guy. He writes a lot about Christian apologetics. He also writes a lot about politics, which I probably am not a big fan of his writings. But he saw this post and reached out to Marty Sampson personally and said, I think you think that no one talks about these things, but that there actually is a lot more that can be talked about. And there are a lot of people that talk about these things, maybe just no one around you.
That was my thought.
Yeah. Yep. And so he actually reached out. And then I think Marty Sampson had some kind of follow-up post to that post and kind of was like, hey, basically there was some kind of other like, hey, this is what I meant. And I'm grateful for people reaching out. And, you know, I'm still trying to figure all this out.
He said that he's not actually renouncing his faith, but it just in his words, just in an incredibly shaky place right now or something like that.
Yeah,
but I have a question. Does that mean he's right? People are right to blame Hillsong as a church then?
That's a good question. So, like, for me, I will say that for some, not like, and you know, I think there's a couple things. Is that there is for every person two journeys you're making always in your life, in your spiritual life. Not to get too serious about this, but one is you're making that personal journey, which is like you're like where you as a person are walking with God in the middle of stuff and dealing with questions. And then the other is the intellectual side, is that you have actual intellectual questions that need answering and there's factual information that needs to be digested and processed. And so I think, I don't know if it's a pure reflection on Hillsong. I think that for sure, if he didn't feel like he could talk about this with anyone, then maybe that's some reflection on his leadership, people around him. Maybe he's isolated himself. Maybe just everyone assumed it's fine and he didn't know who to talk to. So, like, I don't really know what it says. But I will say this, is that people often respond to people who lose faith like kind of, I don't know. Like they are some people, like you might have a variety of responses. And I think I just want to speak to that, which is just like, I think if you've struggled before, then you're like very sympathetic and you're like, oh man, I just want to like know that you're okay and that this is going to be fine. I think if you've just never found that to be the case, I think you might struggle with a lack of sympathy because you'd be like, how could you do this and then turn your back on your faith and turn your back on God, really, essentially. Like, this is such an offense and an affront to us and then to God. And I think that I'm not saying that that has no place, but I would say, as someone who struggled a lot in the past, that, like, for sure, that's probably not a good thing to say right away to that person. And that ultimate judgment is kind of like, we don't know that for sure until the end. It kind of relates to Kanye's thing. There, we've been told in scripture there will be surprises when we get to see the Lord, of like who actually was someone with enduring faith and who was not. And so I think we're gonna have to see. But for sure, again, I'm just like, this is just me responding to people on Twitter who are responding to other people on Twitter about this. And so apparently there's this really angry constituent of people who are just like condemning this whole thing, and we're like really unhappy with it.
Yeah, I have a big problem with that though. Like, everyone's struggles are different, right? And just because you can't personally relate, because you're talking about the one side who is probably doing this, or the people who haven't really struggled with something similar in the past. And I feel like if that's the case, even if that's the case, like, you as a believer of Christ should be understanding of the fact that people struggle in different ways and being sympathetic towards that. I think, like, for me, as also someone who has struggled with like major doubts in the past and present and probably future, like, it doesn't really go away like completely. But I think that, like, this brings up the idea that I've been thinking about a lot recently, which is the idea of like healthy amounts of doubt, right? I think, like, there are aspects of this faith which are completely faith, and there are aspects of this of the Christianity where you are kind of called to like dig in more and discover for yourself. And but that only comes through like, oh, this doesn't make sense to me, which causes doubt. And I think this is like this is kind of like a shift in the topic, but I do want to talk about that. Like, your thoughts on like healthy amounts of doubt versus people who, in my opinion, who never really struggle with it. One, that's probably a gift, right? I think like
faith is
it's a gift, right? But also, I think on another side, which results in things like what happens with Marty Sampson, is the result of churches who focus so much on certain things that cause them to focus only on like the emotional good parts of the gospel versus the hard stuff that you actually have to work towards. And this is why I asked you, Mike, the question of like, do you think this is the failing of Hillsong? And to me, it's more of like, do you think this is a failing of a specific type of church? And to me, I think it is, the answer is yes, where a lot of churches will tend to avoid these topics and focus on the things that are easy to hear versus actually encouraging people to dig into the doubts and like to actually bring that to the forefront of their minds to discover what their faith actually is.
Yeah. And to respond to kind of the first half of your statement, that was my problem with what I read, because the things he states, although they're pretty wide in breadth, like he could be talking about a number of different things in that, but there are like fairly concrete answers or good discussions to be had,
right?
As to why is the Bible full of contradictions, right? Well, we can talk a lot about that. Like, why does God, a loving God, send people to hell? Well, we can talk about that. There are answers to these things that he may be satisfied with answers or not. I don't know. But saying no one talks about it, I mean, like we said earlier, people do. But also, these aren't things that, those two things in particular, doesn't require blind faith necessarily. I think there are genuine answers to these things.
Yeah. And I realized this, is that we on this podcast and our average listener are probably going to always be like on the nicer side, right? Just because that's like kind of the whole millennial culture and like the way a lot of younger folks are trending, which is like, hey, like everyone's on their own journey and it's okay and don't judge Kanye like that. So what I'm always probably going to attempt to do is like to at least present the reasons behind what you might consider the more objectionable reactions to these things as having at least their foundation in some legitimate concerns and things that you should care about. So like that's, I kind of just feel like with current events, it's like, I don't really think that our average listener is gonna be like, let's go after him, you know. So like, I kind of want to be at least like, well, there's some legitimacy. So like, I will say that maybe Marty shouldn't be getting on social media to announce this to the world. Oh, that's a good idea. So maybe that's unwise. I do think that, yeah, like, I mean, and Brian, what you're saying, like, probably, and I think this is hard because if you're in a church like Hillsong, and they are, I think, they're Assemblies of God officially, I think, or Pentecostal in roots.
Didn't they make their own denomination technically? Didn't that happen?
No, I think they're still Assemblies of God. I don't know. So anyway.
Anyways.
But they are who they are, and a lot of that is about saying God via the Holy Spirit is very present and working here. And so when you have that presupposition every week, everywhere you go, it's of how stinking real God is, which is true. It does make it a little harder to be like, oh, by the way, I have some problems with this, or I kind of don't know if this is real. If you have to overcompensate as far as giving people space and room to be able to voice things that go against the assumptions that everyone carries. It's a kind of the same dynamic you have with any thing in which, like, when you notice there's a power dynamic as far as prevailing opinion in one way, if you want to actually create space for the other side, then you have to kind of overcompensate by allowing for this kind of space. So this applies to all sorts of things. But I do think that it's very possible his leadership around him and peers, maybe it's kind of like this. The first time I had friends who went through a divorce, nobody had any idea. Like, I mean, maybe someone closer to them did, but like, I never thought of all the times I saw them to ask them, how is your marriage going? Because I just assumed it was fine. And probably they also felt the pressure to assume it was fine. And then you just like, we're like, oh, we're getting divorced. And you're like, what the heck is happening? And so I think just kind of maybe people around him were like, hey, we never asked you how you're doing. Maybe we just assume everything's fine because you're like one of the most successful songwriters and worship leaders in our ministry for 20 years. And you've been on our staff for so long that like no one's ever walked you through some of your prevailing questions and struggles and doubts. And like, that's really important. So I think that's kind of the big lesson to draw from that. I don't know. So
are you saying Hillsong is to blame? Not entirely. I don't think.
The wrong word.
Well, so like, I think everyone's always to blame for everything. So like, let me say that up front is that like, I think if anyone fails, that while we're quick to point out how they've failed, I also think that's just sort of a failure of the group. Yeah. Like that the failure, sin is a communal issue. And therefore, if the structure of how we've organized ourselves lends itself towards your struggle, then we've all failed. And so I'm really quick to accept blame or to give blame to a whole group to say, you've all kind of failed that person. So like, that's super, yeah, like I don't mind. But just as long as you know that I'm not just blaming Hillsong. Like I'm like, if you told me today, like how is our church failing? I could tell you like all the things we're doing to fail people. And then whenever someone fails in our has difficulty in our church, I would say that is our failing together, that this person is having a hard time. So yeah, I'm pretty quick with that. The final thing we'll talk about real quick on big internet happenings, let's take a break.
Did that be like a break thing?
All right, no, we're gonna...
Are you recording?
I'm recording. And we're gonna wrap up this episode with...
I don't think it's recording.
It is recording.
Stop it!
Just look at the timer. You can see the timer going.
Well, it's blue now and not red.
Well, now
you can see the timer. Like, see T0703.
You said borderline questionable words on air, and now I can't include this part.
Huh? What part? We didn't do anything.
Yeah, but I like including the banter before we...
Just oh, we're not including any of that?
Bleep out the words.
That's even better. All right, as we wrap up, I'm going to tell a fun story from our church staff retreat that Tyler and I were at. And so how did we get to the moment?
We were bickering all weekend, me and you.
We were bickering.
Yeah. So you tell the story, different.
Tyler. No, I want you to tell.
We went to a cabin in which we have our annual staff retreat. The whole staff was there. Ashley was there as well, and she can testify to this in the future. I don't remember why we ended up with me flogging you with a Twizzler. I'm just trying
because
to get there.
Okay, so on our way there, Mike yelled at me in the car. He yelled at me. I didn't like it. It was if you don't know our relationship, it's kind of a joke, but also kind of serious sometimes.
Oh, no. That sounds healthy.
So I was upset at him for yelling at me, and we were sitting there.
Were you actually upset?
Same thing, like halfway not, but
oh,
halfway
really?
Was.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
And I have this Pull and Peel Twizzler in my hand, and Mike's sitting next to me, and I just kind of wind up and just slap him in the leg with it. And
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And so we were in the middle of a serious conversation with the rest of the staff, and I just kind of disrupted it by doing this.
Yeah, so he totally spontaneously just like winds back his wrist and just flits me with this Pull and Peel Twizzler, which hurts a lot more. Like, it's audibly like thwap, you know? And I'm like, ow, like, why would you do that, right? And so I look at Tyler and I say, you're going to get it. You don't know when it's coming, but it's going to happen. And so we wrap up our planning session, or some session we're having at this retreat. And then I proceed to enlist the help of other people on staff to grab Tyler. And so we grab his arms and his legs. I pull up his shirt. So before I go any further, see, I left you with a cliffhanger of his shirt's up now. But one thing that I was asking Stephen, who's on our staff, who's one of our church planning residents, and he said, one thing that I do with a buddy of mine is we slap each other in the small of the back. So you just kind of like get as wide a palm as possible and just like thwap, like on the back of the small of their back. And I was like, I could hit him with a Twizzler. And so, you know, just you know, tit for tat. And so we pull up his shirt, and like he's struggling a lot. We have this all on video, which we're gonna post on social media.
What?
It is Tyler, and then you kind of hear me grab his legs and grab his arms, and then finally just, you know, there's his bare flesh there, and then I just let him. I wind up big, and I really let him have it, and then he has this huge mark. The rest of the weekend.
Yeah, it stayed multiple days.
Yeah, it was
actually
awesome.
Remember, it bled. you drew blood.
Oh, wow.
From a Twizzler.
Yeah, I got him pretty good. So, all right, that's all for this episode. Thanks for sticking with us. We are looking forward to having more episodes. Again, email us at goallessdiscussions@gmail.com. If you have questions, comments, if you want to write into the mailbag, if you have ideas for show segments,